morning. Thank Brother Garrett for his prayer this morning. 2 John, verse 9, teaches us that sin is a transgression of God's law. And so we understand Paul's statement in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, when all have sinned, all mankind have sinned, and we understand that all man has transgressed a law that God has given. We want to look at this morning from the standpoint of Romans chapter 1, as Paul writes there to the church at Rome. And we understand in Romans chapter 1 that Paul's dealings is showing how the Gentiles have transgressed the law of God. And we know that chapter 2 he deals with the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. They likewise had transgressed the law that God had given them, and therefore God confines all that all have sinned. We won't look at it from the standpoint when I asked, how did God manifest himself to the Gentiles? And I believe that these verses that was read to us shows that there was two ways that God manifested himself to the Gentile nation. And both of them involved by his authority. And we will look at it from the standpoint of his authority, that by his power, God manifested himself to the Gentiles. In verse 19, again, it talks about, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, that is, the Gentiles, for God has shown to them. The original versions leaves this little word "it" out, but God has shown or manifest himself to them. Well, in what way? Not from they could see him in that way, but in a certain way, it's through by his power that he manifested himself to the Gentile nation. And likewise, in verse 20, it talks about, since the creation of the world, that God's invisible attributes are made known through his eternal power. And he concludes in verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him, but in what way did God manifest himself to them? We understand that power is the right to command, or authority is. One does not only have the right, they must also possess the power to back that authority up. In Luke chapter 11, verse 20, Christ there says, but if I cast out Satan with a finger or by the authority of God, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, if I cast out demon by the Spirit of God, that is by his authority, that he had the right and the power to do that. In John 10 verse 18, Christ there says, no one takes it, that is his life, from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up. He had the authority, but he also had the power to do that. So these two go together. You cannot have one without the other. But he talks about back in verse 19 about something that was manifest or that was evident to the Gentiles. And we understand, as he talks about in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, some versions may render, holds down the truth in unrighteousness. And we understand that the only way that you can suppress truth is at one time you must have had truth. That you cannot suppress or hold down something you did not have. So that was manifested to the Gentile nations. How did they come to know God? How did they come to know truth about God? And again, we understand because all are condemned, because they have sinned, that we understand that God had the right to punish those, as well as he'll have the right to punish us in judgment if we are not obedient to his truth, but we transgress his law. And we understand that God's wrath against us would be legal. It's nothing emotional on God's part. We have simply violated the characteristics of God that he has given us to be like him. And as the statement was made, although they knew God, they did not do those things which glorify God. And so in order to do what glorify God, you must know about God. And we understand that. Manifest simply means to prove, put beyond doubt or question. That beyond the old saying, a shadow of a doubt, they knew God. But yet they glorified not God. So then, down through the Gentile history, down through these ages, God manifested himself to the people of earth. From the beginning, as well, we still have what's stated there in verse 20. We still have creation today to tell us about God, that man is going to be without excuse, as the people of all time have had that. He made an extensive revelation to the Jews in the Old Covenant, and we understand that. But again, how did he manifest himself to others? Did he leave them without light or knowledge? The answer is no. The people at one time had a common ancestor in Noah. When God saw that the earth was filled with nothing but sin, and he regretted that he had made man, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah and his family were saved. There were 8 righteous people at that time who replenished the earth. So when we go back, we all have that common ancestry in Noah to look back upon. God, again, because of sin, destroyed the earth. His legal wrath for disobedience or for his statutes had been violated. See, he showed his justice. He killed those people through the flood. But those descendants of Noah eventually went back into idolatry. Before they could have done that, they must have first have rejected something. And so they rejected of what Noah and his family would have started teaching after the flood, of God's grace that Noah and his family knew concerning God, because God manifested himself to Noah and to his family. And they seen his power in the flood. God spoke with Noah and told, "This is what I want." And so they knew about God. And so as the earth began to be replenished, Noah would have done, his family would have done that teaching. But eventually, man turned again to idolatry. So what did they do? They rejected that which they knew. That would have been God. That was taught by Noah and his family. God later manifested himself to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and to Joseph. Many people of the Gentiles would have learned about God through these individuals. As Noah, as Abraham, and these coming to with Gentile people, they would have known and taught about the great God of heaven. God manifested himself to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian people and to the Jewish people there during the time that they were slaves in Egypt. And God intended that this wonderful miracle, his power that was done there in deliverance of his people, should be taught to all nations. And it was. Others knew of the great power that God displayed in dealing with the Egyptian people. In Exodus 9 and verse 16, in talking to Moses, Moses makes this statement to Pharaoh. He says, "For this purpose, God says, I have raised you up, Pharaoh, to show you my power, and that by my name should be declared to all the earth." He said, "Pharaoh, I've raised you up for this reason, that you'll know who I am." How is Pharaoh going to know that? Through his power. That God manifest who he was to him. In 1 Kings 8 and verse 43, Solomon says, "Do according to all for which the foreigners called you, that all the people of the earth may know your name." And so even Solomon said that all the people of the earth would know who Jehovah was. That would be through his authority, through his power. When you look in Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, as we made mention of these miracles that all nations would know, the very statement is made there concerning Rahab when she hid out the spies and she told them, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the 2 kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God above in heaven above and on earth below. A statement of Rahab, the harlot, Gentile. We have heard of this great God of heaven, what he done in Egypt. We know that he is a great God. Why? How did he manifest that? We heard he dried up the Red Sea. It was through his power that they come to know who God was. Therefore, they were without excuse, for God says, I have manifested to you who I am. Jonah would have carried the knowledge of Jehovah to the Assyrians, and the whole city of Nineveh was brought to repentance and to confess that Jehovah is the God of heaven. This heathen nation, this Gentile nation. And what would have caused them to submit themselves in sackcloth and ashes? Because they come to understand who the great God of heaven was. They understood God's authority. They understood God's power. If you have the opportunity, go back and read the third chapter of Jonah. That's exactly what it tells. That they came to know who God was. And that's why they reacted as they reacted. When the kingdoms of Israel was carried into captivity by the Assyrians, and they were scattered throughout other nations, these Gentile nations, among them would be found those who were faithful to Jehovah. And we have listed those in the prophets of those Jewish brethren, these prophets who was faithful to Jehovah during this captivity. And that knowledge would have reached the Gentile nations through them. As we see in verses, when you talk about Daniel, when you turn to Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32, that Daniel during his captivity proclaimed to these Gentile people, especially Nebuchadnezzar, who the great God of heaven was. And Nebuchadnezzar come to understand who the great God of heaven was. Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. This prophecy concerning Nebuchadnezzar's fall and what would take place after. It said, they shall drive you from man. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen. Seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomever he chooses. Nebuchadnezzar come to understand who the great God of heaven was. He knew who put him in the position where he was at. He came to know who removed him from that position. That very hour, verse 33, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from man and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. In verse 34, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me. What understanding? The great God of heaven. He said, that returned to me. Through the power, God showed me who he was. My understanding returned to me. I lifted up my eyes to heaven and blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion, his everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation. Gentiles knew, nation knew who God was. Daniel chapter 6 of King Darius, verse 26. King Darius says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, man must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. How did Darius come to know the king, the God of Daniel? He was taught by Daniel. He says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure forever to the end. He delivers and rescues, and all his works, signs, and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. What did Darius see in Daniel? He saw the power by which God preserved Daniel. Therefore, he came to know who the God of heaven was. King Cyrus, in Ezra chapter 1 and verse 2, says, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kings of the earth, the God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And so the God of heaven spoke to King Cyrus, you see, Gentile king, and said, he's commanded me to build something for him. And as Paul points out in chapter 1 of Romans, the Gentiles were truly without excuse for their ungodliness and their unrighteousness, because God manifested himself to them through his power. And likewise, we today will be without excuse. But yet Paul mentions another way in verse 20 that God had manifested himself to the Gentile nation. And it talks about, for since the creation of the world, it was through his invisible attributes. It talks about through these invisible attributes, we understand the eternal power of God and the things that are created. Invisible things are those not perceived with a natural eye, but clearly seen with our mind, that we can look through our eyes. And our mind can tell us, this image of God, that there is a God. The things that I see in creation. The invisible things of God are clearly seen, perceived, and understood. That something set this in order. This great universe and earth that we see, that it was placed in order by someone. The things we see about us was either made by themselves, as the evolutionists talk about, or they came about by a creator. And we understand the argument that goes on there. But even evolutionists agree that it took millions of years for things to evolve. And they understand that this earth is not going to last forever. Even today, they're already teaching about man's going to destroy earth. Eventually come to naught. But that is reserved for God, who will come back and destroy the earth with fire. Not that man can destroy the earth. In the created things, we see the power and glory of their Maker. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. The stars in heaven speaks no words, but yet we look with a thoughtful mind, we can look and say, how great thou art. When we see the universe, we now are able with these telescopes and stuff to look far beyond what the natural eye can see, and just the beauty, the colors that reflect that this universe goes on, who knows, that it cannot be measured. And the things that God has placed there, we understand more now through the Hubble telescope and all these things they put up there. We can see of planets and other things go on of a creator. That they're kept and held there by the word of God. They come no closer to the earth. They go no farther. It all involves that God has set this in order. It's something we can see with our eye. That we should not be able to know that there is no God. No God of heaven. And no created power could make this. It had to come from a creator. One who has always existed. One who has always been everlasting. Could have put such order that we see today, that we look at every day. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word. So therefore, the Gentiles could look just like we can today. It talks about you're without excuse, because the invisible things reveal his power that put those in order, revealed to them that there is a God. In Acts 14 and verse 17, nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. A blessing we enjoy every day, that God's, the book of Psalms deals with, that God has a law concerning rain, how much rain he gives when it rains. He just does not open up and it just rains and it quits. All is under God's power. When he sends the rain, he shuts the rain off when it serves his purpose. We question floods and stuff that goes on today. It's God's law. He's going to send that for a reason. Because that's under his control. That's under his power. And we see that when we deal with earthly power and even all the weapons that man can conjure in his mind for destruction of this earth, they come nowhere close to what God can do. Nowhere close. when you look at great battles that took place in the Old Testament, of how God, in the instruction of Pharaoh and his army, through all these chariots, is great, how did God destroy him? Through his power. He separated the sea. He let the children pass through on dry land. When Pharaoh and his army come, he spoke and the waters came back. There's no way man can defeat that kind of power. And so, God has the power. He gives us rain. He fills our heart with food and gladness. There's no reason why any nation or people should forget God. Every star, raindrop, plant that we have proves there is a God. And Paul here tells why the Gentiles were without excuse for their ungodliness and unrighteousness. God's power in speaking the universe into existence and tipped there by his word. And these nations had known God, the Gentile nation had known God. Their knowledge of him left them without excuse for their sins. And when we stand in judgment, there'll be no excuse that we can give that I did not know who you were. Because God has manifested to us who he is. He made all things, and by this he has all authority. They were made by his power. And that's the two ways in which God manifested himself to the Gentile nations. We have this word written by credible witnesses today. Likewise, we can look at creation and know there's a God. But as God manifests and taught the Gentiles his will, he teaches us his will today through this. Made possible by his Son, that his blood was shed for this word. His blood was shed for our sins upon the cross. The question is going to be, when you stand before God in judgment, what answer are you going to give concerning your soul? I did not know who you were. We know who God is. Those in Acts chapter 2, when Peter proved to them beyond a shadow of doubt who Christ, the Son of God, was, they asked a question, what shall we do, man and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. That brought them back in a right relationship with God. If you're not in that right relationship today, you're going to stand in judgment before God without excuse because you heard it here this morning. If you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you.